become a beneficiary under certain conditions.
And in general, there is this notion of nene, but it can be offset by certain factors. So if there's no chizaron, so then that seems to be a limitation. And if the hanah hasn't happened yet, that seems to be a limitation. And what have we seen on the other side? We've seen that Gilui Das plays a role. According to some Rishonim, at least Tosfos, Gilui Das can offset Lo Chaser, that even in situations that never Lo Chaser, if there's Gilui Das, that could do it. Others disagreed with that, implicitly or explicitly. And we saw also that there could be a problem if the Hana is not there yet, if the Hana is only in potential. So then we saw yesterday the notion that when the Hana is secure, when it's inevitable, so then that's a different story. If the Hana is definitely going to come, so that seems to be enough. It could be that there might be some Rishonim who think that even if it's not definitely going to come, that's enough if it's already in motion and there for the future. It could be that that sounds like what Rashi was saying. But we saw that within the Ramban's objection, at least, we need more than that. Because the Ramban's question was, but maybe it won't happen. So it sounds like if it was more confident that it would happen, so then that would be enough. So you could rely on a future Hana, but it has to be something that is solid enough as far as probability is concerned. Okay, so far so good. That's a lot of our stories so far. So let's now focus on what other chiddush has our sugyas given us. And here you really need to look to Bava Kamma commenting on our Gemara. But what's one detail, or Tosfos and our Gemara also making reference to it? There's another principle here that goes to define chisaron. And what is that? You know what I'm looking for? What phrase? It may not be so clear. Hakafa yasera. Right? So the notion, Tosfos in Armasach, the quotes that the Gemara and Bava Kamma introduced, that counts as a chisaron. That in the case of the previous Mishnah, Dalet Amud Beis, so there the issue was brought up that Reuven is encircling Shimon. So the Gemara raises the question in Bava Kamma that why should Shimon have to pay for that? It's that Nevzeh Lo Chaser. And the answer was that Reuven can make the claim, you caused me extra hakafa. You caused me to have to make a bigger fence. So how do you understand that principle? Is he charging for the extra expense? Is that the idea? Just, I'm going to bill you because there's more here than I would have otherwise spent? Do you think that's what it means?
It depends how much we make him pay for.
Oh, okay, that's going to be a nafka mina of the question, right? So it's going to impact the question of what does the bill turn out to be in the end. But in order to figure out what the bill should be, so we have to try to understand what the phrase means in the first place. So what do you think it means? What does it mean? Say, okay, I had to spend more because of you. What do you think? Shmuel?
Maybe not that specific amount, but the whole building becomes... takes on the status of something that, like, there was a chisar in it, so you'd have to pay for, then just back that off me, you'd have to pay for everything, or like divide it equal.
Okay, I think that's very much a possibility, as we'll see. That may be correct. It's interesting, but it's a little bit the less intuitive approach. Right? So basically, you would have thought perhaps that the more intuitive approach is that I had to spend more money because of you, so I want to charge you for that. Now, the question is, does that make sense? Logically, does that sound reasonable? Well, what's the problem with it? I mean, so basically...
If he only increased it by, like, a small percentage, why should he have to pay for half of it?
Well, is it a question of degree? Does that matter? I think one... Yeah, Shmuel?
I mean, it's, I guess maybe it would seem like Chisaron sort of might be more like qualitative than like than just.
Okay.
Like it's either a Chisaron activity or it's not a Chisaron activity. Not like this.
Okay, that's interesting, right? And that's something which I think we've seen kind of lurking here under the surface. Right? That what is the role of the whole Chisaron issue, which we've seen a couple of appearances of this question. You know, is it that, okay, you are machasami, so I'm charging you for the chisaron? Or is it that the chisaron is more of an indication of something? That if there's no chisaron, then we could say this is just an under-the-radar thing. This is just a part of sharing a world, and I have no right to expect that people are going to pay me for this benefit that has no impact on my life. But once it's not painless for me, there is some impact on my life to benefit you, so then it's a different story. Now the hana is significant. Or to put it in one way, what am I charging you for? Am I charging you for the chisar or am I charging you for the hana? Could make a big difference. Right? Am I saying that the chisaron is something I deserve to be compensated for? Or should we say that, no, it's not that the chisaron is something I'm compensated for. If I lived on a desert island by myself, so I wouldn't need any fences. And because there are people outside in the street, now I do need a fence. So is it fair for me to say, okay, well, it's their fault. I wouldn't have to build a fence if it wasn't for them. So I want to charge them for the fence. Should tax the public, anyone who walks past my house. It's their fault to have to build a fence. So that's not fair. I understand that, yes, I have to do this because you exist, but it doesn't mean it's your problem. So it's clear there's some connection between the chisaron and the hana, right? It's not that I'm charging you for the chisaron. Right? And you'd have to say like that because if it was zeh chaser v'zeh lo neneh, if I just had the chisaron, but it wasn't benefiting you at all. Like if I have to spend money to keep you out, let's say, it doesn't do anything for you, but it's because of you, I certainly can't charge you for that. So there's clearly some unusual kind of relationship going on here, right? That sounds like the chisaron is the indication of something rather than the reason itself. So that when there is a chisaron, it shifts the balance here, and now the hana becomes more significant. And especially if we use the model, like we mentioned the other day, that basically this shows that it's really a shared need. And it becomes a chisaron for me if I have to shoulder the cost by myself. So perhaps this is kind of an extension of the Gilui Das idea, but in a little bit less of a chiddush. So let's follow the path here. And so zeh neneh v'zeh lo chaser, normally, if I do something that I'd have to do on my own, happens to benefit you, but there's no difference to my life one way or another, whether you're there or not, I would have to do it either way. So it's totally lo chaser on my part. And it's benefiting you. So then, sorry to me, I can't charge you because the fact that you benefit is just not meaningful. It's just a normal cost of sharing the world with other people. They're going to sometimes benefit from what you do. And in fact, not want that, that gets you into Midas Tovim territory, as we'll see later on in the parak. However, according to Tosfos, Gilui Das matters. And others disputed that. And others say, why should Gilui Das matter? If it's lo chaser, it's lo chaser. Why is Gilui Das a factor at all? So one model we suggested is that once you make it clear that this is really something that you would do, so it means it's a shared expense, that really it's not fair to make me shoulder on my own. So that becomes a type of chisaron. That becomes something that I shouldn't have to take care of myself. That's a chisaron, that's a lack to me. The fact of my having to pay for something that should be shared, that you could be a free rider, that's a chisaron. But we saw that not everyone agreed with that. And the Marshal and others said, no such thing. Lachasr is lachasr. And even if it's something that you showed you would have been ready to pay for, doesn't matter. However, what if it's not just that you showed that you would have been ready to pay for it, but it's even a bigger expense because of you? Right, it's not just that I'm going to have a wall around my house either way, but I have to have a bigger wall because of you. And you show that it's a real hana to you. So you put those two together, maybe that's something everyone would agree with. Maybe that's indicated by the fact that the Gemara introduces this fact. Now, when you have both the Gilui Das, so the shared expense, and the Hana, or something else that makes it a clear Hana, and it's not just benefiting me, but I have to spend more in order for it to be there for both of us. So maybe that's a different story. But you follow how that could all be derived from the same approach. And again, so then the question is, so now, is it the Hana that I'm charging you for? Or is it the Chisaron?
I'm just confused. I think we said the Maharal says that your intention doesn't matter.
The Marshal argued with Tosfos. So Tosfos said that Gilui Das changes the equation. That if you have Zenen and Vazelo Chaser, so Tosfos both here in Bava Basra and in Bava Kama, Tosfos says that you would be chayiv for a situation of lochaser if there's Gilui Das. And we saw that Nimuki Yosef seemed to disagree by implication because they looked for a different approach to explain it. And the Marshal, the Yamshul Shlomo, was explicit. He said that there's no such thing. You never chayiv for Zenev lochaser.
So then why does he need the confluence of these two factors to make it? Why doesn't he just care about you having to pay more because you're the other person? And
so
he doesn't care.
The point is, you need that, though. So in Mishnah, on the Mishnah, Dalim and Beis, we had that more clearly. In Hey but Aleph, we had a harder time seeing that. So Tosfos and Hey but Aleph introduces that in the second answer, but it was a bigger stretch. And so in the Mishnah, Dalim and Beis, the Gemara and Bava Kama says that's what's going on. There's a Kafi Yaseir. But in our Mishnah on Hayim and Aleph, it was less obvious, so we need either to say that somehow, or to say that Gilui Das makes a difference, or to go the Nemuki Yosef route and say that just forget about Nana and look at a different Mahalo. So let me ask you, yeah, Al?
But how do those that say that Gilui Das does not matter explain, how do they answer Tosfos' question about Maki versus Nikah?
So you mean Dalai Lama Beis?
Yeah.
So, but that the Gemara said because of the Hekafi Yisera. Gemara Bava Kama says it.
No, I'm saying that in Bava Kama, on Chafon Bet, brings in that the second attempt to try to bring that Mishnah for.
If only the Makif does it.
Yeah, it says if the Makif did it, then he would not be Chayab, it's only the Nikaf. So, Tosha explains the difference in the Makif and the Nikaf, and when it's the Nikaf, there's Giloy Dat.
Right.
How do those that say Gilui Das doesn't matter explain that answer?
Because you need both together. You need the Gilui Das and the Hakafi Yisera, which emphasizes that point, right? That you're not being charged for the Chisaron. because the chisaron by itself would not do it. Which is, I feel like I'm repeating myself, but I think it's just such a fascinating point, so I keep saying it again, but it's just such an interesting thing to think about. That you see, I think you're forced to say there's a relationship between the chisaron and the hana, right? That the chisaron element is defining the hana. That without a chisaron, it's not a significant hana. Because you clearly need both, right? Because if I had the chisaron without the hana, so if the guy did something, he's a mazik, and in Bava Kama, later on in Bava Kama, all the more so, the sugyas flow into each other, mazik and then. So there's a line where it becomes one and the other. And then sometimes is more an aspect of mazik, and sometimes more an aspect of gezel, and sometimes it's somewhere in between. But, or something short of it. But the big difference here is that if I mazik you, okay, so then I have to pay for what I was machaser you. But here, the chisaron is not, doesn't seem to be on the surface, the basis for the charge. It's just an indication that there should be a charge. So it's going to have major practical ramifications. Let's say there's a difference between the impact of the chisaron and the benefit. So which one are you paying for? It's very conceivable that there should be a difference between the two. So, let me ask you the following question. And I'm not making up this question. It's one of the many fascinating cases in this beautiful sefer. But the Beis Reuven asked the following question. Let's say, we could try to Americanize this. All right, let's try to make it more familiar. So, two days ago, Zach was driving to my house for the Hanukkah Masiba. So let's say that his car was in the shop, so he decided to take an Uber to make the case more complicated. So he had offered already to drive everybody. Then it turns out, at the end of the day, his car wasn't available, so he took an Uber. But yeah, this is going to bring in all kinds of other fascinating questions. It's already an interesting question. Let's say that now he'd have to take the Uber anyway. Could he charge all you guys who got in the car with him, make you split the Uber? That's actually a great question, but that wasn't even the question I was thinking of. But let's say the plan was he was always planning on taking an Uber. He said, I got an Uber going from my house in Long Island to Teaneck. While he was on the way, there's two different ways I could go. I could go straight without stopping in the Heights, or I could go a path that goes through the Heights, but they're equal. So hold on. So right now they're equal, right? So he could go either around the Heights or through the Heights, and they cost the same. So one of you guys said that you were planning on taking a jitney from the Heights, and Zach said, no problem, I'll pass through the Heights, it's not going to change my Uber bill. Okay? That was the deal. Then, after he picks you up in the Heights, so then there's a major event on Amsterdam Avenue, and you end up delayed between YU and the bridge for an extra half hour, and the Uber bill is racking up, pushes you into a congestion zone pricing. So now, all of a sudden, the Uber price is more. Can he force you to participate? What do you think? Should I not have made you all no gay by Dover by making you the characters in the story? So what do you think? Basically, it was a ride I was taking anyway. I thought it would be free for me. But because I'm helping you out, now all of a sudden it ended up more expensive. And you had been ready to pay for public transportation. But I thought that it would be free. So I thought I could help, and now I see it ends up costing more. What do you think? Any thoughts? Can Zach charge, yeah?
I think what might be a little bit like difference in this case, meaning at the point in which you get on the bridge, Zach has to go across the bridge to get, like, I mean...
But he only came there for you. If it wasn't for all his passengers, he would have just gone straight. He wouldn't have come on Amsterdam Avenue. He wouldn't have been blocked by all that.
See, but if the situation changed once he got to the Heights, so then, like, he was going from the Heights to, like, he still had to go.
But is that reasonable to just start history on that point? Your own, what do you think?
I feel like, I don't know, maybe if Zach is getting himself into the situation by saying, like, it's fine, like, I'll come through the Heights, like, that may come along with certain risks, such as the traffic may build up when you come to the Heights. Maybe it's, like, an assumed risk that he's taking upon himself when he comes. I don't know if that would maybe play a factor.
Interesting.
Okay. Otherwise, I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a good question.
It's like, because, like, if he's okay with it, then, like, to an extent, you could be like, you were okay with it until the fact that, like, now you know that it's going to cost you more money. But I feel like also at the same time, that's an assumed risk in this scenario.
Okay, it's an interesting point. You're saying that, in general, when somebody's helping somebody out, so there is a certain commitment to follow through.
Right, yeah, but also, like, going the other way also, like, yeah, then the other person should definitely be, like, I don't know, should definitely be, I guess, I don't know, I feel like should chip in a sense to help out. Like, if he's being helped out, like, to such an extent, like, I feel like he should have almost, like, in a sense, like, a chiv to pay the guy back, in a sense, for helping him out.
Okay, and one question is, if he does have that chiv, so does he have to pay for the extra Uber bill, or should he just have to pay for the jitney? How much does Gili Das correlate to? Right, so it also goes to the definition of Gili Das. Does Gili Das mean I'm just happy about this, so therefore I'm responsible? Or does Gili Das mean I'm revealed that I'm interested in paying to a certain degree, but I'm a jitney guy, I'm not a Uber from Long Island guy? So, you know, it's a different story. So, yeah, Shmuel, what would you say?
No, just built into the, at least the story, I think, was that he was going to take people because he wasn't going to cost him anything extra. So he wouldn't, like, I don't think by, like, he would be, or we would, so to speak, be protected by, like, you offered to do us a favor, because built into, like, what he said, and definitely what he thought was that, but I think, that I'm doing this because it's not going to carry on additional expenses.
So, you know, it is interesting, from a chesed perspective, which opens up all kinds of other doors, what Yaron is saying is that, you know, so that there maybe is a certain degree of commitment, that even though there are always variables and surprises, and maybe I undertake something thinking that it's a lower level of expenditure and then it changes, there may be a certain amount of commitment a person takes on when he says, I'm going to help you out, and then you come to rely on them, even though the facts may change. It's an interesting question overall, how much there is certain responsibility that comes along with that. It's the kind of thing that tends to color people's interactions on a day-to-day basis. So here, I'm still committed to the schedule I talked about, so tomorrow we still want to get to Vav Mei Beis, but just we're going to probably spill over a little bit with this point from tomorrow. But I'll just tell you his answer here, but it's actually a more complex question. There's other elements, so we'll fill in a few more details tomorrow. But he talked about Yerushalayim and Haifa and Bnei Brak, you know, a little bit of a different fact set, but essentially the same kind of question. But the important detail is that the guy he picked up was standing at a bus stop, meaning he was ready to pay a bus. So he was ready to pay something. It wasn't just... Like, it would be clear, for example, if you guys had been planning on staying at home and you weren't coming in the first place, and Zach had called you all up and said, you know, listen, why don't you come with me? I'm going anyway. It's no problem. I'm just swing by the Heights and pick you up. So then, it really wouldn't be fair to expect any responsibility from you guys. You weren't planning on spending any money on this at all. But the fact that you otherwise would have done something, that's one of the important details here. So here, we'll just first tell you what his answer is. We'll have to explain some more details tomorrow. But he writes here that Nira Lachadesh, so this is not such an obvious idea, this is Chiddush, Shafilu imhu garam tosefes behotzos, right? Even if the beneficiary did cause an increase in expenses, b'chol zeh in v'galgam lovas akol, we still don't put the whole responsibility on him. Ela rak mashigiloi daitu denichle. Only that which he indicated that he was ready to take on. So he was waiting at the bus stop. He was ready to pay for a bus. But to say that he should have to split the costs of the whole extra expense, that much we're not ready to say. Now, at this point, he is expressing disagreement with a position of the Noda Behuda. So just to dip our toe into that, explain to you from the Biurim of the bottom here. He says, on the one hand, Reuven seems to be right that since Shimon was waiting at the bus station, so he has shown that he is interested in this trip and that he's interested in paying for this trip. So he should have to pay for everything, as is indicated by Tosfos and Bava Kamma that I asked you to look at today, and it's also in Shulchan Aruch and Samach Gimel. What does it say there? Yesh omrim dehadam rinan kishachatrin oimei l'schar, that the place where somebody slept without permission was not there for rental purposes. Eino tzorech l'halei s'schar, so that he doesn't have to pay in that case. Davka shlogila hadar b'daito shahai ritzon l'tein s'char. It's only in a situation where the person who slept there did not indicate that he was ready to pay for it. That he hasn't shown that if he is not allowed to stay there for free, he pay. If he has shown that he's willing to pay, so that he does have to pay. So it sounds like even a situation where zenev zelo chaser and you would normally be potter, but if it's a situation where the person has indicated that he's ready to pay, so then he should be chayv. That's the din in the Shulchan Aruch. Now this is a step beyond what we were talking about in our Mishnah, because there it was just a gilui das that he's happy that the project was happening. So here we're focusing on the fact that he's happy to pay for what's happening. So normally that should create a chiyuv. However, says Nira Lomar, the kanik gilui das nichlo otzah shel otobus, v'alobo otzah shel hamoinis. Right, that he's ready to pay for the bus. He's not ready to pay for the taxi. So therefore, we can't obligate him for the taxi bill. And that this is a principle that is expressed by the Noda Behuda. Right, the Noda Behuda, one of the great Gedolei HaAchronim, Reb Chezkel Landau of Prague, the author of the commentary Dagel Merbava on the Shulchan Aruch and the Tzlach on the Gemara, and it's very important, Shuvas Noda de Behuda. So he wrote, Dim Gila Daito Denichale Bautzah Eino Chayev Ela Kefima Shegila Daito. That this notion that a person has conveyed that he's happy to spend money on something, so he's only obligated in that which he has indicated that he's ready to pay. But to go beyond that, he says, that is not what we find. So here we have the convergence of a number of factors here. Right, so is Gili Das alone enough for a Chiyav and a Nana situation? So we found various opinions. Does it matter that the Gili Das here is specifically on the payment, not just on the fact that this is happening, but it is ready to pay? So that maybe is a bigger issue, a bigger factor. But should we see that as a giloy on the whole thing? It's now actually a commodity. So now he has to pay the whole rate for that service? Or is the giloy limited just to what he has declared he's ready to pay. And the gila is not about the hana as much as it is about the actual expenditure. And how's that going to factor in? So that, Be'ez Hashem, we'll just fill in at the beginning of tomorrow. And then we look forward to going further. So big day tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and the skills will continue with the Gemara, and Shir, we will continue with this and head toward